accession number 23192, Reel 7.
Roy Griffiths, Reel number 7. We were discussing the day-to-day activity in the camp and sleeping in the afternoons out of the heat.
Yes. During the day the lads worked on the tanks, and periodically a regiment of the Arab Legion would come down from various places, actually, in Jordan. And they'd go out into the desert and work as infantry to our tanks. Wasn't a great deal to do. But I did take the opportunity to go off and ride up the ravine, which is the entrance to Petra, and see Petra. In those days, I think it was a lot rougher than it is now. I think they must have cleaned things up since I was there. I've seen it on films since, but when I was there, there was just piles of rock, other than the buildings carved into the cliff face. But it was very interesting. The Rose Red City, it certainly deserves its name.
How long did you stay in Jordan?
Not all that long. It was so much 1954, I forget. Trying to think. Yeah, we stayed there till February 1955, during which time His Hashemite Majesty King Hussein of Jordan came and visited us. Various high-ranking British officers visited us. We turned out the usual guards of honour, etc. On one occasion, I had an invitation from one of the Arab Legion sergeant majors living in Ma'an to come to lunch and bring an officer, a friend. So, intrigued, I went down, and it was all very courteous. The house, he lived in a house, it was spotless, whitewashed walls. He was very proudly showed us his pistol, which was chromium plated, I remember. The meal, I'm not terribly sure of. I think the chicken was the basis. I seem to remember, I think it was like cucumber. I'm probably wrong. Anyway, we managed that, and it was only afterwards when we were going back to barracks in the Land Rover that the Remy staff sergeant with me started being sick over the back of the Land Rover. But otherwise, you know, they were very courteous. Of course, the purpose of his asking me to go was that would I employ a relation of his up at the camp? When I got back and told the Palestinian clerk what had happened, he made a face. Oh, he's no good, he's no good. However, in due course, the guard at the gate sent for me, and I went down, and there was this gentleman, so I allowed him to come in, and the Palestinian clerk set him to work. But in February 1955, we packed up and went down to the port of Aqaba, and in due course set sail in a tank landing craft, I think it was. Yes. By this time, of course, the regiment was getting ready to go home, and the scheme plan was that we would sail up and meet the troop ship Devonshire at Port Said, and then pick the regiment up, rest of the regiment up at Tobruk, which we did, and sailed back to Liverpool.
Was that your first visit back to the UK in a long time?
Yes, well, we've been in the Middle East then for 3 years. And as it turned out, it was to be my last overseas posting. Because we the regiment went to Crookham near Fleet in Hampshire, and again started to reorganise. And from Crookham, oh yes, I wasn't there very long. B Squadron, as usual, the Battling B, we were sent off to foreign parts in Wales. This was to Castle Martin in Wales, Glamorgan. It was a ranges, and also it was the site of a summer camp for Territorial Army regiments. And our job was to maintain the tanks. So from about 16 tanks, we were faced with about 32, plus B vehicles and armoured vehicles, scout cars, all sorts. Anyway, off we went, and it was hard work and enjoyable. All the various regiments came in and out, and so we went on. This was early 55, despite a rail strike of that year. Um, and some school cadets came. And then, amazingly enough, a battalion of the Women's Royal Armour Corps, TA. And of course, sat in the mess one day, in walked a lady whose face I thought I knew. The sergeant I had met in Egypt. So we became close friends. We were married in December of 1955. So we joined the regiment again in Fleet. Oh yes. And then of course, where is it all? Now from Fleet, we knew that there were some ceremonial parades coming on, and so drill was the order of the day. Lots and lots of drill. Still with our national servicemen, of course, at that time. And the first one, which I found that I was on the WO of number one guard, was to return the eagle and standard captured by Sergeant Ewart at the Battle of Waterloo, and which lay in Chelsea Hospital. And this was done on June the 18th, Waterloo Day of 1956. Three of our regiment in full dress, mounted on horses, took part. The rest of us, of course, in the what it was now known as the blue number one dress. It was quite a spectacular parade, actually, at Chelsea Hospital.
You feel a great deal of pride in your regiment.
Oh, indeed so, indeed. Because this eagle I'm talking about was, after all, captured by a sergeant. It was quite a spectacular parade. And then the next ceremonial parade was to take place in Hollywood House, where the Queen was to present a new guidon to the regiment. We were, of course, the 2nd Dragoons, and Dragoons at that time carried a guidon, which was of a swallow-tailed shaped flag, whereas the Dragoon Guards carried standards which were simply square. Of course, B Squadron took class. At that time, being the senior squadron, it led in the parades that followed. And the Queen duly presented us with this new guidon on July the 5th.
Did you have a chance to meet her?
Not then. Not then, not at that particular time. Although I was on the Guard of Honour at the station which received her, and so on, and on that parade. So So we saw quite a bit of her, and indeed, after the parade, the WOs and sergeants of the regiment were photographed with the Queen in the centre. She was the colonel of the Scots Greys. I think it was in 1957 that the regiment then moved to Catterick in Yorkshire. Its role there was to be a training regiment. Most of the armoured corps regiments took it in turns to be training regiment for national servicemen. They came in and learnt their trades, etc.
Had you renewed your tanks at this time, or you still had your original ones?
No, it was but it was still the Centurion, but by this time Centurion Mark II, much improved. But an excellent tank. Catterick, yeah. It was funny that. Of course, by that time, I'd become entitled to married quarters, having married in the December of 1955. I went to take over my quarter, which was a road, Menin Road in Catterick, consisting of, what do you call them? They're not semi-detached, it's just a line of houses, red brick houses.
Terraces,
yeah. Ours was one of a terrace. You walked in the front door, there's a bathroom on the left-hand side, stairs going up in front of you. You walked into the sitting room to the right, and there was a great old-fashioned stone, black lead. God. In actual fact, looking back, I think it was at that moment that I decided it was time for me to leave the army. I mean, those quarters may well have been quite good pre-war, but having experienced the accommodation in Germany, I just wasn't prepared to have my wife in a place like that.
Did you have superior accommodation according to your rank?
Oh no, well no, there was a sergeant, band sergeant, lived next door, and there was a, I don't know what he was next door, I don't think I ever remember seeing him, he was from another unit. Pleasant enough, but oh, it was so antiquated. So it wasn't very long before my wife and I went out and bought her an electric stove, which we fixed up in a sort of scullery place at the back. But as I say, it was there I decided to leave the army. Because as I think I told you in the beginning, to grammar school, but I didn't gain any certificates. I had nothing whatsoever to fit me for Civvy Street. So I thought to myself, well, you know, in conversation with my wife, about time I got some certificates or something, some O-levels. I even had no idea what I was going to do. So with the help of the education department in Catterick, they were very, very good. They gave gave me all the necessary books to read up, and of course O-levels at that time, unlike my days at grammar school where you had to sit the O-level exam, the complete exam, and if you failed in one subject you failed a lot. It was a bit better by this time. So I concentrated on English and English Lit, went to the education place and sat the exam and passed in both subjects, which gave me heart. From then on, the education people helped me greatly by getting me correspondence courses. Meanwhile, life in the regiment went on. Usual business, morning parade. B Squadron was stationed quite near to the officers' mess. I learned afterwards that, forget the time, morning parade, I think it was about 8. I would call the markers and get B Squadron on parade, and apparently the officers used to all check their watches for the time and start to get themselves ready for work, hearing my word of command.
Were they aware that you were thinking of leaving?
No.
The senior officers?
No. No. No, I wouldn't let on. Well, I didn't know whether I'd be, you know, I'd got to get some more O-levels. And there wasn't much else, really. The usual family life of a regiment went on there, and then suddenly I was posted. I was to go to Paisley in Scotland, which had one squadron of the affiliated yeomanry regiment, the Ayrshire Yeomanry, whose headquarters was in Ayr. So, off I went, took over from the sergeant who was then leaving the army at the headquarters of, it was a wooden hut actually, in Paisley. Went back, collected my wife, and we drove up, complete with dog, and moved into the quarter, which was a modern house, very nice indeed. Rather odd, there were three houses, the other two are occupied by officers, and they all sat in what had been a football pitch, right next door to Brown and Poulsen's factory, custard factory. And the other side of the football pitch was Robertson's jam factory. So life became very colourful. We were regaled with all sorts of smells on certain occasions. I can't say we liked Paisley at all, but it was a bit of an eye-opener at that time, the appalling poverty of some of the people. I used to go once a week, I used to drive from Paisley to air for all the admin part of it. But it did enable me to get on with my correspondence courses. And in due course, I went off to Mary Hill Barracks in Glasgow and got myself another four. So that was six. It was amazing because it so happened that as I got those four, out came an Army Council instruction saying that they wanted to cut down the strength of the Army and certain senior NCOs like myself could volunteer to leave the Army. We would get the pension that we would have got had we stayed on for 22 years, plus £2,000. Well, this wasn't to be seized then. I started writing letters. An ex-commanding officer, Colonel Borrock, kindly wrote a very good testimonial, apparently. I didn't see it, because by that time I'd gone down home to Devon and applied at St Luke's College, Exeter, to be taken on for training as a teacher. They told me the Colonel's testimonial was very, very good. I went down and had an interview with the principal and was accepted. By that time I'd written to HQ and my request to leave the Army had been granted. So everything tied up together and we came home to my home in Dawlish and I went up to Exeter daily, trained as a teacher, and in due course in 1962 qualified as a teacher. What I forgot to mention that at Catrick just before I went, Her Majesty the Queen came and she came to the sergeant's mess and all the warrant officers were introduced to her. So I did actually, I can say, I was presented to the Queen. Very lucky.